At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point ahead of the final pre-split fixtures. Michael Beale says Rangers need four or five players to catch Celtic as Ryan Kent's linked with Burnley. Aberdeen and the PFA both hit out as Graham Shinney not only loses his appeal but gets an extra game suspension. And Stephen McLean says he wanted Callum Davidson's blessing before taking over St Johnston on interim charge. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me is Jim Duffy and Simon Donnelly. And Jim, it was the business end of the season a few weeks ago. It's getting to the serious stuff.
Yeah, I mean, at both ends of the table for a lot of the divisions. Obviously, I have to congratulate Dunfermline, winning Division 1. That's the first title sorted out. Celtic have all but wrapped up the Premier League title, but a massive competition going on in the Championship. And obviously, Division 2 still seems sorted out, although we're still in drawing with Dumbarton last night. That almost, again, almost wraps it up. But in the relegation battle, still an awful lot to play for in all the divisions.
Absolutely, Simon. It's getting serious. Things to be won and lost between now and the end of the season. We've got disciplinary complaints. People are already planning for next season. It's a busy old time.
Yeah, but it's exciting. This is the bit that they all work for, you know, to go and try and win championships. Teams avoiding relegation. Did you say you've only got two games left?
No, we've got three. We've got three games.
So,
yeah,
you know, they're coming round thick and fast. And, you know, a big semi-final round the corner as well.
I forgot about that one.
Two big semi-finals.
01419511025. That is the number you need, so come on down. Whatever is on your mind, this is the time and the place to share it. Michael Beale's made some comments today that Rangers are four or five new signings away from challenging Celtic. Rangers fans, what do you think? Is that the type of number you had in mind? Would that do it, Celtic fans? I'm sure you'll have other ideas as well, so you can share them. What areas are we talking? There seems to be at least a bit of strength in the rumour at this point, or the stories, if you like, that Burnley could be interested in Ryan Kent. Rangers fans, is it time? Is it definitely time? Or would you like to see everything done to try and keep that player and extend his contract beyond the end of the season? And this is not only to Aberdeen fans, because I feel like everyone has got an opinion on this. Everybody was arguing about Graham Shinney's challenge on Friday night. Firstly, you've got, should he have been sent off or not? Then, should he have won his appeal or not? And now, not only did he lose his appeal, he's had an extra game added on for the simple fact that Aberdeen saw fit to appeal in the first place. So Aberdeen fans particularly, but I think everyone else out there, I think lots of you will have an opinion on that, because we'll have nothing more than a good old disciplinary debate on here, don't we? So if any of those topics tickle your fancy, please give us a call. And if you'd rather move on to something that I've completely overlooked, you know the number, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. There's lots happening, Jim. Lots on the go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Shinney one's an interesting one, because, you know, I think, you know, the way the game's played and with the rules that we have currently, I think it is a red card. You know, unfortunately, I don't think there was any chance of winning the appeal. The issue comes with adding an extra game. That is a strange one. It's quite rare that that happens. I know it's within the rules, and I know that, you know, when you're given the opportunity to appeal, they already know that is a possibility. But you kind of wonder, you know, you're basically saying to Aberdeen, we thought this was a frivolous and a, you know, a a chance for you to try and get him to be available for a game when you knew full well that you were never going to win the appeal. I don't think that's the case. I think it would be much easier and much simpler just for the SFA just to uphold the original judgment and say, no, listen, the three match ban stands, and the appeal has been successful. But I do think it was a red card, and I don't think there was any chance of the appeal being overturned.
Well, maybe there's one for you to get involved in if you fancy it. I think lots of you will have differing opinions on it. So 01419511025, particularly Aberdeen fans, but everyone else, because we're all involved in the same disciplinary system. And again, I think those comments this morning from Michael Beale, Simon, that might get a few people thinking, debating how many players are Rangers away. It's always fascinated me that you could even begin to put any number on these types of scenarios.
Listen, it will be news, you know, the fact that he said that. I read a comment saying, you know, are Celtic going to stand still?
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that they would be looking to strengthen, as all good teams do, because they're going to have another Champions League campaign. So it's hard to gauge. I still think Celtic are too strong for Rangers at the time being, so they always have to look to improve.
And it's early. I don't think we don't tend to go all in on the weekend preview on a Wednesday, but my goodness, Jim, for all the faults that it's got, and you've been there many times, the split can be magnificent on days like this. It really comes into its own, doesn't it?
Well, you know, for your team, last season, you know, was at the dying seconds. You know, the Ricky Alamy, I think, managed to get the goal and put Motherwell through and Livingston out. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's big for the clubs. People, I think, underestimate sometimes what it means. I think if you're a supporter of the two main clubs, Celtic and Rangers, you know that's a gimme. It's about fighting out for titles or trophies. Or whatever happens to be. But the other clubs, I mean, we've seen, you know, the challenges that, you know, that have come across the other clubs by the managers that have lost their jobs because they have to be in the top six. You know, they have to be challenging because the revenue, the TV and games, the spotlight that they're on, all of those things can make a huge difference to them. Not just for the moment, but for going forward, Gordon, in terms of their budgets for next season, their planning. You're talking about Michael Beale, talking about four or five players. But the likes of Hibs, Aberdeen now, you possibly St Mirren or Livingston or whoever it happens to be, these clubs can all then put their plans in place knowing that there's a much stronger budget available to these managers if they get in the top six.
And for those at the very top in Glasgow who know where they're going to be, Simon, it also means you need to wait till the weekend to find out what the rest of your fixtures are going to look like as well. When will the last league meeting at Ibrox be and all those types of things? Lots of questions to be answered this week.
Yeah, there is, but it's exciting. I'm looking at the table. You know, there isn't a lot between that bottom four. You know, and Callum's obviously lost his job on the back of St Johnstone's bad form. Dundee United have had a hell of a week, you know, picking up 6 points. And I watched the highlights of that game. I think Motherwell possibly scratching their heads why they didn't come away with something there. You know, Van Veen had a goal chopped off for, I think it was his toe, been offside, and then he had a great save and that was all at 1-0. So Dundee United came back, get a fantastic 6 points out of six, and all of a sudden then you look at Kilmarnock, had a terrible start against Celtic. So it's hard to predict who's going to go down.
Right, 01419511025. Let's kick off with this Graham Shinney business, right? I know it's Aberdeen, which a lot of our fans may be based in Glasgow in the West listening, but everybody loves a good old argument about a red card and an appeal and VAR, don't they? So let's have a look at that situation. I'll bring you up to speed in case you missed it. So basically, Aberdeen last night issued a furious response to the decision to ban Graham Shinney for 4 matches. They were not happy whatsoever. You'll remember he was sent off after a VAR check at Ross County on Friday. So a 2-game ban for serious foul play. He misses a third game because he'd been sent off just the game previous. And then maybe the most controversial bit, the disciplinary panel added an extra game because it was considered to have been a frivolous appeal or have no chance of success. So they issued a, you know, big statement saying that they had carefully considered it, watched the footage, listened to pundits and various things. They reviewed similar tackles, they say, in the Scottish Premiership, and decided that it had to, basically the appeal had to go in, and basically calling for an urgent review. They want a new panel to look at this. They don't want to let this lie. And then this afternoon, they've been backed up by PFA Scotland, our colleague, of course, Fraser Wishart, on behalf of PFA Scotland, basically hitting out how unfair it is, wanting basically every player to have the right of appeal, whether it's going to win or not. The right of appeal, they think it goes against fairness and natural justice. They say that some of their members have lost faith in the system and ask why bother appealing. And the crux of that statement is not whether you think it's a red or not, it's why do you have to add an extra game on for someone who thinks they've got a genuine chance of appeal. Let's bring in Steve, who's a big Aberdeen fan. Steve, I'd imagine you're pretty annoyed at this stuff. Sum it all up for us.
Well, where do you want me to start? First of all, I personally don't think it was a red card. I'm sure your colleagues there will agree, they've played the game. You can't, when you kick a ball or going for a tackle, withdraw your foot. You're going to follow through no matter what. And Shinnie did try to pull out of that. And a still picture that these referees are looking at is always going to be worse than when you look at it at full speed. The still pictures that the papers and all that have shown, they've also shown Baldwin from Ross County.
Yep.
They've shown his studs going into Shinnie's knee. So his studs are up there, so it's technically you could say he should be getting a red card as well. You don't want players sent off for tackles like that. It's a contact sport. Fans are paying their money to see the players on the pitch, not sitting in the stands. And the reaction from the panel with the SFA, I can understand people losing faith in them. The fans have lost faith in them, VAR, the refereeing officials, the whole lot. There's something needs to be done from the very top down.
Steve's bang on. There's so many layers to this. Firstly, is it a red card? It's like the obvious place to start. Secondly, though, you've then got, okay, once it is a red, are you going to win an appeal? Because that's a different bar. And then thirdly, should you be getting an extra game punishment because you appealed? I think you have to go back, right? I don't know if we need to have the same argument as we had on Friday and Saturday, but let's start there. Is it a red in the first place?
Not for me, but you're going to tell me the rules say different.
You don't have to put words in my mouth.
I agree with Steve. I watched the game. It wasn't a great spectacle as a game, but I find it harsh. I do. I don't know where you go with your foot in it. By the way, people have different opinions. I spoke to a couple of guys, defenders, funnily enough, during the week, that think that he did try to do the Ross County player. I don't know where you put your foot. I don't know where you put your foot when you go through that in a tackle. Back in our day, it certainly wasn't. But as I said at the beginning, you're going to tell me that that's in the rules. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not
necessarily, but that would be important. If I was going to, it would be quite an important factor.
Yeah, but you see where I'm coming from, and I can see where Steve's coming.
Well, Jim. I mean, I disagree with Simon. I think it is a red card.
A man who is no shrinking violet,
exactly.
Either.
But it's not my era. This is the day, today's game, and in today's game, it's excessive force. It's endangering an opponent. It covers everything you need to do from a red. Listen with Simon. You know, you can't then just put the brakes on when you go in for a tackle. Understand that, but we have to change the way we tackle. That's the aspect of modern football. You have to change things. There's a number of things. What I do agree with Steve is, I think that we have to have a look at, you know, how we set the rules out for a number of, you know, situations, whether it be handball, whether it be tackling, etc. But as is the rules stand at this moment in time, the way the game is played just now, I think it's a definite red card, and I don't think there was any chance of the appeal being overturned.
Like I said, look, I know it does form part of it, but there's no point in us keeping arguing about whether it was a red card, because that, in essence, that is last week's debate. The current bit of it, Steve, is this decision to add on an extra game. Is that the bit that stings the most?
Because obviously we're going to be in the top six. He's going to be missing for important games. We're 5 points clear in third. And it wasn't just that. It was the wording from the SFA with the frivolous and appeal. You've got to give players, teams and that respect. They've got to remember, these fans are paying money. Graham Shirley, whether you agree or not, it was a red card. We also obviously thought he had a good chance of an appeal, of winning it. So that's not a frivolous appeal in that aspect. But to treat teams and fellow professionals with a contempt like that, The SFA are out of date and out of touch with the real world and real fans, in my opinion. We're coming away with statements like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aberdeen's point, to paraphrase it, and I'm always a bit nervous. I've seen this creeping in a bit where clubs are sort of referencing what pundits have said. Listen, as somebody who spends a lot of their time with football pundits, my advice would be ignore it if you can.
Yeah.
But like, on a more serious note, I think Aberdeen's point would be, Simon, if we boiled it down to this room, you don't think it's a red. Jim does. Steve's angry about it.
Yeah.
I saw Dermot Gallagher on the telly the other day saying, oh no, they'll lose that appeal. They'll lose their deposit. Other former pros. So I think that was Aberdeen's point. It's not so much that you're right or Jim's right or Dermot Gallagher's right, but if there's even that level of discussion, how can it be a frivolous appeal? My sort of understanding of the situation is that had Graham Shinney lost his appeal last night, Aberdeen wouldn't have been happy.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have seen that type of statement, and you wouldn't have seen stuff from the PFA today. The bit that's pushed it over the line for many people is it's such a ludicrous appeal that you have to add on an extra game. What's the point ultimately?
Yeah. No, I think it's way too harsh. Yeah. And who decides if it's frivolous? Who's made that?
Not a judicial panel.
You know, they've decided. Yeah. I think Aberdeen were within their rights and the rules of. I just think it's all round harsh. I think to add an extra game on to, you know, you already got the punishment of the red card.
I agree totally with Simon there. I think that, as you said, Gordon, you know, you could have a different group of people within that particular appeals panel this time round, and they might have thought, because as you said, there's two ex-pros in here, and we both have different opinions on it. So, you know, any kind of group of people.
And you could, tackled and I never tackled.
Yeah, exactly.
But and they'll see it the opposite way.
Yeah, but you could have a different group of people in that particular day. Yeah. And they might have thought, listen, we still think it's a red card, but we don't, you know, we can understand where you're coming from. So, yeah, to me, I think that's the side that is harsh. And I think Aberdeen are within the rights. I do think that, you know, that we have to be a wee bit careful. We just say, well, you can just appeal all the time, because listen, clubs will use it to their advantage. Mm-hmm. Let's not pretend that doesn't happen. If you've got a hugely important game where a very, very important integral player coming up, and you can think, well, wait a minute, we can play, we'll appeal because we'll get him playing this game and then he'll miss the next few games, then that will happen on occasion. So
is that what's harsh in Aberdeen though? Because obviously that isn't the case. You know, Aberdeen, they've not gained anything by trying to appeal Graham Shinney, and if the decision didn't go their way as normal last night, they're still without him for three games. He's the captain, he's influential, big games coming up, and they probably would have taken that on the chin. It's almost like why this one? You know, I think Ryan Porteous did get a game added on, was that last season? But again, I think maybe the scheduling of games can come into the thinking. I suppose what I'm asking is, what does it genuinely achieve? Do you think it really does deter clubs? Because clubs will still feel they've got the right to appeal and they'll do it anyway.
No, I think it just antagonises clubs and supporters, like Steve just said. Yeah. You know, the supporters are just getting antagonised, and then they lose faith in the system and the you know, the governing bodies and things like that, and the SFA. So I think it was unnecessary, I think, to do that. I think that's the simplest way of doing it. I think they should just have said, listen, your appeal's failed.
Mm-hmm.
Three match ban stands, and then just as you say, then probably Aberdeen would have just gritted their teeth and gone with it.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, the club publicly asking the Scottish FA to urgently review the appeal with a new panel. I'm sure you would want that with your red tinted glasses on, which is fine. I wouldn't even necessarily disagree. But is there a danger that opens a bit of a can of worms as well?
I don't know the rules on that, but I would love to at least. I'm happy they've done that because they feel they've been harshly dealt. But will they get it? Who knows with the SFA and the appeals procedure? It seems to be a very closed shop. Nobody seems to know who sits on them or anything. So I would like to think they would look at it again. And see, because as you guys have been saying, you guys can't decide. It was the same on Friday. James McFadden didn't think it was a red, but Chris Boyd did.
Mm-hmm.
But he was probably hoping that so that Shinney was missing for Sunday.
Ah, see, that's the only thing this is missing is some good conspiracy theories. That's a fair point. In terms of, you know, should this get looked at again, Jim? if we're going to apply the logic I just sort of laid out there of, you know, why are you deciding now, Scottish FA? Why this one is one of the ones that you give the extra game to? Would you have to apply that logic to Aberdeen's case and say, well, you know, if you're going to review this one again, yeah, what level of unhappiness do you have to reach in the Scottish public to get that?
Yeah, and also you can't go and choose the panel just to suit your needs. If you're not happy with it, unfortunately, this is the system. And what they need to do is change this at the start of the season and have the rules in place. But I don't think you can say, well, we don't like the decision by that panel, so we then want a different panel reviewing it, because then if that panel agrees with it, then you think, well, we don't like that panel as well. Where do you stop? We want another until such times as they agree with you. So no, I think it's become a bit of a mess when it shouldn't have had, and I think that the SFA could have made it a lot simpler. But from Aberdeen's point of view now, you know, I think that sadly, I think they're going to just have to, you know, deal with it and go on with it. And unfortunately, listen, they've done not too bad under Barry Robson without Shinny being involved in a few of the games. They've been in terrific form. So I think if anything else, listen, before Barry Robson came in, they were on a bit of a downer, and I think anything like that can impact even more. But the fact is that they're playing with confidence. I think at this moment in time, it's not as big an impact as it could have been.
Thank you very much to Steve, who was on the line there. Steve's also in the Don Supporters Trust, so very passionate about this issue. What do you think out there? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? Let us know.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy are here at 0141-951-1025. We kicked off with a bit of a debate about Graham Shinney's, I was going to say red card, but it's a bit more than that. It's about the appeal, the failed appeal, the extra game that's been added on to the suspension. Feels like everyone, no matter what team you support, seems to be getting involved in this. Mojo is on Twitter. I think it is a red, but it's not frivolous. Doubling it's a shocker. It's not even a tackle. He takes the ball like a block, catches a player. It is a red. Can see the reason for appeal. Doubling it's brutal. What else have we got? Gary says, I don't understand. It's a clear red. The appeal is embarrassing. And Liam says, it's as clear a red as you'll see. Followed through right onto the boy's shin. He could have broken his leg. Then a wee three-letter abbreviation, some sweary words, but there we are. So a bit of a mixed bag on there. Let's bring in Brian. So Brian's not an Aberdeen fan, so it'll be interesting to see from outside that. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I tried to phone in on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I got through the producer, but didn't go on the show. The show was quite busy. It was regarding Barry Robson's interpretation of VAR's ruining the game. I don't agree with him at all. I think that red card is why football needs VAR. I think with VAR, it's kind of falling down a little bit. They're trying to let the referee his decision on the pitch as much as they possibly can. But I think sometimes they're going to have to look at this clear and obvious error thing. Sometimes I think referees do make clear and obvious errors and VAR don't intervene. I think that's they really need to brush up on that. I know it's subjective, you know, those decisions. It was a clear red card for me, when I seen it on Friday night, I was watching some of the game. I caught the incident. I knew it was a red card right away before I had to go to VAR. But obviously, the referee didn't catch it, and VAR came to the right decision as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It shows you there's such a split. Jim Duffy agrees with you. Simon's not so sure, but does concede that, you know, if you look at the wording of the laws and whatnot, it might be quite difficult to disprove. Was it such a crazy appeal that he deserved an extra game added on to the end of the suspension, Brian?
Well, I take it the rules say that, if somebody's going to waste the panel's time by appealing a decision which was rightly made, you know, they came to the right decision. If the rules are there that you get an extra, you know, game ban, then Aberdeen would have known that, as any other club would have known it. Obviously, the panel feel that it was frivolous, and it's them that's actually making the decision. So we have to respect them as well. You understand? I can understand why the PFA are involved, because a player's now got an extra match ban, but they're the rules.
Yeah, it feels like there must be even an extra layer in the middle, Jim. People don't ever listen to this show to worry about what I think. I don't think they care. But for what it's worth, having argued about loads of these incidents, I didn't think there was a snowball's chance in you know where that Aberdeen would win that appeal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no chance. That was just my feeling on it. Yeah. Having, you know, if you look at the rules and all that sort of stuff. But is that still the same? Is it the same as wasting the panel's time or whatever, as Brian says? Unless, as you mentioned earlier on, you're really being manipulative to try and free a player up or whatever, why not just leave everyone with the right to appeal?
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said, I think that, you know, you mentioned a phrase there, you know, I think actually Brian, I think, mentioned that actually a clear and obvious error within the game. And I think this is a similar situation
with
the appeal. Yep. Is it a clear and obvious error? Now, Brian seems to think it would be, you know, if you, you know, in terms of, you know, was the, if you actually appealed against that, that's taking advantage of it. As I said, Simon had said earlier on he wasn't quite sure about it. James McFadden not quite sure about it. So who's on that? I don't think it's a clear and obvious error for Aberdeen if you wanted to go down that route. I think it's an appeal. They've obviously spoken to Graham Shinney. They've looked at it and said, look, and the players went, look, I've won the ball clean. I couldn't stop momentum. He's given his reason. They went, right, okay, we're going to back you on that and we're going to appeal that. So I don't think that is a clear and obvious error from Aberdeen.
In terms of, so you didn't think they were ever winning the appeal?
I don't think they won the appeal, but I don't think, as I said, that they were trying to manipulate the system.
No, of course
that,
not.
That's what I don't.
Because they've not tried to gain anything from it.
Yeah, there's nothing really to gain from it. So I don't think that they're trying to manipulate the system. I don't think they're trying to take advantage of the system. So I think it'd have been easier, as I mentioned, just to turn to keep the decision as it stood when the appeal was overturned.
Simon, see how much easier this is if you just stay up the park and don't tackle people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I agree with Jim. I think that the 3-game punishment suffice. We go with the rules, and I'm not going back to on Maddie and whatever. But watching it, you know, for me, that's football. I've seen a lot worse tackles over the years, but it is the rules, so you have to accept that, accept the punishment. But I think adding another game on is very harsh.
Okay, what about Barry, who's an Aberdeen fan from Kirkluck? What are your thoughts, Barry? What's annoying you the most?
Hi there. Yeah, no, I agree with Jim Duffy, just what was being said there with Graham Shinney. I was thinking back to the Rangers and Johnson game back in January. There was Kent, who had the yellow card. VAR looked at it, and then the referee said he thought it was still going to be a yellow card. So and the SFA didn't do anything about that. There was a similar tackle, and then another boy, was it Boy Clark?
Nicky Clark.
Johnson. Yep. Nicky Clark, he got sent off, but that got appealed. And all three tackles are quite similar in the fact that the leg's a bit high, and you've got to interpret whether it's endangering the player. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd probably put Shinney's tackle somewhere in between those two tackles, and I'm a big fan, so I don't think it was a sending-off. But the thing that annoyed me the most was the fact that they've said it was a frivolous appeal, and they've increased it to one match. So I think I'm agreeing with what the panel are saying. I don't think...
Yeah.
I can see maybe why they've stuck with the red card. I still think it was maybe a yellow, but I think they've opened themselves up to a lot of criticism by giving that extra match.
Yeah, I think Barry, as one Aberdeen fan, probably speaks on behalf of the club. I think that would be it. They would reluctantly accept that they might have failed the appeal, because that's just what happens. But where's this extra game come from? Barry hits on an interesting point, Jim, I think, because Aberdeen, the statement was quite detailed. I've already had a tongue-in-cheek pop at mentioning what pundits think. But there's also a paragraph in there that says, each appeal is heard on its own merits, which means that no prior case or appeal decisions are considered. The legal system for hundreds of years uses and relies upon prior cases of evidence. And that's where you've got Barry and others saying, well, remember, Nicky Clark sent off at Ibrox after a VAR, but won his appeal. They feel it was a similar tackle. Should previous tackles be taken into account?
No, previous tackles are not taken into account, Gordon, because this is not law. It's not a precedent, you know, where you sit down a court of law. You know, this is football rules and interpretation of those rules. And each referee can interpret it their own way, as we've done tonight. Everyone's got a view, and all the you know, the guys that are phoning in have got their views on it, because you know, football it's emotive. But you know, there's a number of circumstances that can take it into consideration. You know, you see tackles, for instance, in the early part of the game, sometimes being allowed, the referee allows the game to get underway a little bit and flow, and then maybe later on in the game sometimes you see a referee book a player, and then if it's a very similar tackle later on, he doesn't book him because he knows he's got to send him off. Use a bit of common sense. So all of those type of things. So no, I don't think you can then select a particular tackle that looks very similar in the past and then try and use that to back up your case. I think you have to take the case on its own merits in that particular game at that particular time. Does that constitute a red card? And that's really all you can focus on. You know, was it excessive force? Was it endangering the opponent? Does any of these things, you know, cover a red card?
As we were discussing in the break as well, there's different circumstances in different games.
Yeah.
So is that guy being provoked, you know, seconds before?
Yeah.
Is there an intent? It's totally different from game to game.
The referee assesses the games he goes on, and also, you'll see games where there's tackles going in left, right, and centre. Sometimes the referee just goes on, you go on, you go.
He's a more
relaxed referee. You've got referees who, as we all know, are almost have their hand in their top pocket as the game's getting taken part, because they love issuing cards. Other referees like to keep the cards in their pocket. Everyone's got slightly different, so you can't just pick and choose.
To be fair, though, I wonder if they're. To look at it slightly differently, because I agree. I think if you're the judicial panel, you're not going to look at other tackles. Yeah. You're just not. You're going to base it on its own merits. However, if you're Aberdeen, does it at least give you something to go on when you decide to launch your appeal? And therefore, again, it's fine if you lose it, but don't then punish the appeal with the extra game. You know, you can understand why clubs would do it and say, well, do you know what, he won that appeal and he won that appeal, so we're going to test the water here.
Yeah, I suppose if it's another foot, you mentioned similar Ryan Portis, perhaps the appeal committee could say, well, look, you know, we had a similar situation with Hiberny and therefore this is what happened and we've done that. So you know, you can't get it to suit you all the time when you're unhappy about the decision, particularly when it comes to punishment. I think we all feel
Barry, how much of a miss is he going to be on the pitch before we move on?
Oh, he's a great miss, and Shinny's been a brilliant servant both times, and I'm just a bit sad that he could maybe only have two games left for Aberdeen before his loan term ends. He's been a legend of the club, and he'll be sorely missed, particularly when now we're going for the top number three position. And he's definitely showed up in midfield and made it harder to beat.
Yeah, he's been very good and it's been a good run. Third place still very much up for grabs. Thank you to Barry, 01419511025. Right, what's next then? Ryan Kent's been linked with a move to Burnley. Is it definitely time, Rangers fans? Is it best for all parties? Or do you still want to see everything done to try and keep him between now and the end of the season? Fans of both sides of Glasgow, Michael Beale says Rangers 4 or 5 players away from competing. What do you make of those numbers? Let us know.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy both here, both waiting for you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. If you want to give us a call, and we'd love you to, or you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. So do get in touch. Lots of reports today linking Burnley with Ryan Kent. He is, of course, out of contract in the summer. There's been a lot of debate. Rangers fans, what do you think? Is it looking inevitable? Would you rather just see him and part ways at the end of the contract, or would you like everything possible done to try and keep him? I think it was the Daily Mail certainly first reported the story earlier on, and lots of people having their say on that scenario. So I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Now, we've been speaking to the athletics writer for Burnley, Andrew Jones, covering a number of topics or aspects on this story, and first of all, just asked if it's something that he can see happening in the near future.
I think this is, you know, still in the early stages, and you know, I'm still trying to sort of check out exactly what the situation is. But it's not the first time that Ryan Kent's been linked with Burnley. I think it, you know, a couple of times in recent years where his name has sort of been linked with the club. So there's sort of a history there, if you like. Burnley generally, you would looking to upgrade the squad in pretty much every area, you would think, as they try and get ready for a return to the Premier League. Kent would add a different, you know, aspect to the options that the company has in that position.
Andrew also asked as well if it's the type of player he could see fitting into Vincent Kompany's team.
He'd definitely, you know, be, you know, suited to Kompany's system. You know, Kompany wants his wide players to be direct, have a bit of flair, be able to go both ways, and impact the games. Sort of defensive side of the game, that is the other element that the Kompany demands. You know, you've got to have that work ethic. You've got to be willing to, you know, to sacrifice and you know, come back and put the shift in. Because they, you know, Burnley pride themselves on being as good off the ball as they are on it. They're very good on it. But, you know, a lot of work, a lot of shape work goes into winning the ball back, that counter press, you know, pressing high and trying to, you know, unsettle opponents. So you also have to, you've got to have both sides of the game. You've got to be able to affect it on the ball, but you've also got to show the ability to do it off the ball as well.
Billy is a Rangers fan on the line. Billy, how do you see this playing out? Is it the time to let Ryan Kent go? If you could, if there's anything you can do, would you like to see Rangers give it everything to keep him?
Thanks for putting me through. I really don't think Ryan Kent wants to be at Rangers. To be honest with you, he was a great player for us, but in the last couple of games, and he just doesn't seem to be doing what he was beforehand. I seen him on Saturday. Sorry, he wasn't there on Saturday, and yeah, the team seemed to flourish. And obviously, there's been a few teams in from Leeds, Burnley, and all the rest of it. So he's away at the end of the season, and I just don't think it'll be a. I don't think it'll be a miss.
Well, I think Billy's made his feelings quite clear. Jim, what would Michael Beale likes him, obviously, there's that relationship there. What should Rangers' desire to keep him look like?
I think it's a difficult one, because I think most people think Ryan Kent is unbelievably talented. He's got a very talented footballer. I think particularly in Europe, away from home, and in games when Rangers are playing counter-attack, I think he's been very influential in some of the key games. And I think that's drawn some of the attention towards the clubs. If anything, I think he might actually suit playing a team like Burnley maybe a little bit more at times than Rangers, because Burnley will be on the back foot probably more often than not in the English Premiership, and play counter attack maybe a slightly different style from what they were described now, because obviously they've been brilliant in the Championship. So, you know, but I think it's time for him to move on. I think he's done what he can do. I don't think he can improve much more under Michael Beale and at Rangers. And I think it's time to move on and change the direction of how Rangers want to play and want to approach the play. I think you got a little taste of that at the weekend, as Brian had just said, sorry, as Billy just said there, at the weekend without him. I think that, you know, Rangers under Steven Gerrard and under Michael Beale, you know, have relied quite heavily on Ryan Kent. But I don't know if his numbers stack up to being a top end. That's the reason why I don't think any of the maybe top eight clubs, particularly in England, have shown any real interest in him. I think if his numbers had been better, he'd certainly get the talent to play at the very, very top. But there's obviously something just not quite clicking. So for me, I think it's time for him to move to a new challenge, and time for Rangers to change their style a little bit with freshening up the squad.
I mean, the good thing for him as a player is he's going to have options because he's available on a free. I don't think anyone is on here tonight saying Ryan Kent's so wonderful that he's turning heads of English Premier League clubs and they're all desperate to get him. But there's a different lens, which is you can get this guy for free.
Yeah.
So is it likely that clubs like Burnley would be interested in that? Is it very likely that he takes it? You know, is that the way you see it going in the summer, or does he stay?
Yeah, the more it goes this way, I do see a departure. I think Billy might be right. You know, I watch Ryan Kent at times, and I'm always saying it, I don't want to be disrespectful, but he never really takes the game by the scruff of the neck. For a guy of that kind of talent, in terms of creating goals, scoring goals, we see flashes of brilliance now and again, but I don't think he's consistent enough. And maybe for him, you know, for his own benefit, a change of club is what's needed, just to go and refresh, a new challenge for him. Because, do I use the word stale? I just don't think he does enough at Rangers.
Yeah, I think under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, he certainly struggled, because I think the system they played, I think under Steven Gerrard and
he had a wee reaction when Beale came in.
I think both of them can maybe understood him a little bit, his personality, you know, his character, but also the way he wants to play. And I think he's improved. He certainly improved again when Michael Beale took over. But you need to produce it, particularly for Rangers. I mean, you're Rangers, you're dominating the vast majority of games you play in Scotland.
Yeah.
So he for me should be chipping in with, you know, double figure goals every year, and, you know, well into those type of assists as well.
Not a lot of love on Twitter, I must say. If you want to balance this up with more positivity, you can do. James says, down tools a while ago, wages better spent elsewhere. I suppose that's the other thing. He wouldn't, and a contract extension wouldn't be cheap wages wise, I wouldn't have thought. KA, I'll drive him down myself. Performances and levels have been shocking last two seasons. Ross says, take him today. So I'm not sure there's a lot of love out there, but there must be some. I mean, your Twitter can be an angry place at times.
At times.
Sometimes. Is there a realistic possibility for you then, Billy, that Nick, and we can dig into this more next week, but we're talking about a season defining game for Rangers next weekend. It really is, when you look at what's at stake in the semi-final. Is there a realistic possibility for you Ryan Kent doesn't play that game? Because he's played every single big game for Rangers for the last few seasons.
Yeah, I would take him out totally, put my Tundle on. And I'm talking about that game. I know it's a week away and all the rest of it, but I would definitely start with Sakala and Arfield. Arfield's been on the bench, as you know, for a long time, but every time he's come on, he's gave 100%. And I think, honestly, Arfield and Sakala, I think they could do a big job against Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, even by your standards, asking people to pick their team is extremely early. But in the context of Ryan Kent, though, you do just wonder. So didn't play at the weekend.
Yeah.
There were no complaints about Rangers' attack. So that was injury, to be fair. You then, you know, if he's not fully fit, are you pitching him back in this week anyway? And then if not, do you suddenly start him in the Celtic game when A, he's been out injured, and B, he's probably not in brilliant form anyway?
Yeah.
It's just unthinkable almost that you get to a game like this and maybe he doesn't.
It isn't. I know he scored a fantastic goal at the turn of the year at Ibrox against
Out of habit rather than his form.
But me with my Celtic hat on would be quite happy, and it might come back to bite me in the backside for him to play, because I think it gets into the final third and is safe. He's safe, and I've watched the games, and I think Billy makes a good point. Arfield is hard to pick up, making runs late from midfield, and Sakala has caused Celtic a few problems with his pace. I don't think he's the polished article, or composure maybe lacks a little bit round about the box, but he's got pace.
Very direct, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got pace. So I think he's got a valid point there. I think the safety of Ryan Kent for me is the most frustrating thing. He gets into good areas and then he'll look back, or he'll look to offload it rather than go and do it himself.
And maybe part of the let me say problem with Ryan Kent, which sounds very unfair, if I find a more appropriate word, Jim, has been that there isn't anyone else. You know, if Jota has a dip, it's not completely unthinkable that it just comes out and someone, you know, someone else goes in. Yeah. But you know, Matondo hasn't worked, and then he's been injured. And to be fair, Billy and fans, they liked what they saw at the weekend. Yeah. They liked that cameo. Yeah. But
I think you're right, Gordon. It's a cameo, and you've got to produce for Rangers on a consistent basis. And listen, I think we've been a wee bit harsh on Ryan Kent over the course of the time he's been at Rangers. I think he has been, you know, a fan's favourite for the majority. I think he has been a shining light, in particular the season they won the title under Steven Gerrard. And I think that he has got, you know, real talent, you know, but he's not as consistent as he should be. We know that wingers are generally not the most consistent because of the style of play. You've got to be dynamic, you've got to be taking players on, and it doesn't always work out for you. Mm-hmm. But like Simon said, I think he could do it a lot more often, and he could have a lot more impact in the games. But I still think he'll be in demand. I think there'll be 3 or 4 clubs, as you say, for no transfer fee. And also Rangers have to replace him. That's going to cost money anyway. So, you know, you've got to weigh up, you know, how much you offer him, if you do offer him anything, or do you accept the fact it's time for him to move on?
Thank you very much to Billy.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Bit of pressure on you two, you know. Monday, defeat for the pundits. Tuesday, defeat for the pundits. Ooh. So the week actually hangs in the balance for you two tonight. It's 01419511025. Lines close at 7, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy are here. It's 01419511025. So please get in touch this Wednesday night. What are you thinking? What football topic has tickled your fancy? We've had a good old debate. I never thought we'd argue about an Aberdeen red card for so long on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but there you are. Big news today that not only has Graham Shinney lost his appeal, the SFA have added an extra game onto it, and the PFA have hit out, Aberdeen have hit out, and it's all snowballing. So we had a good old debate about that. If you want to pick it up, you can do. Ryan Kent, Burnley, can you see that happening? Is it time to just part ways, Rangers fans? Would you like to keep him? Celtic fans, you may also be interested in the comments from Michael Beale today, talking about 4 or 5 players away Rangers are from competing. I wonder what you make of that. And anything else you think we've missed, 01419511025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We've not been in this scenario many times this season. Monday and Tuesday, both victories for the listeners, which means Greg and Stirling, you can put the week out of sight by Wednesday. That's a nice incentive, isn't it?
That's a lovely incentive. Good. But I'm feeling the pressure now.
Have you ever played before?
I've never played before. I've phoned up a few times, but I've never played beat the Pundit.
Tonight's your lucky night. What team do you support?
I'm a Celtic fan.
I see you've seen the symmetry there. Celtic are looking to wrap up the league nice and early, and Greg's looking to wrap up the week nice and early on Beat the Pundit.
But he's feeling the pressure.
And Celtic aren't feeling the pressure.
Celtic aren't yet. I don't know if that'll ever happen. So anyway, let's toss the coin. Heads it'll be Simon, tails it'll be Jim. And it is tails, it is Jim. For what it's worth, for any statos out there, it's the two tails that lost Monday, Tuesday. I don't know if that's an omen. Okay. What we'll do here is give Jim some clay and some greatest hits radio to listen to. And we'll get your clock ready to go, Greg. You've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that is fine by me, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go then. Time starts now. Name any Old Firm player who's been sent off this season.
Morelos.
Which current Celtic player joined permanently from Tottenham in July 2022?
Carter Vickers.
Which Championship side did Rangers beat in this season's Scottish Cup quarter-final?
Rangers.
St Johnstone's Ryan McGowan plays internationally for which country?
Australia.
Who scored more league goals this season, Curtis Main or Stevie May?
Stevie May.
Name any other country from Scotland's Nations League group from last year.
Israel.
Okay, who was helping you?
That was my brother.
That's fine, there's no rules against that. What's your brother's name?
Ryan.
There we are. He sounded like he knew what he was talking about. Jimmy, ready?
Yes.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds, shall we?
Sure.
Let's go. Name any Old Firm player who's been sent off this season.
Cal McGregor.
Which current Celtic player joined permanently from Tottenham in July 2022?
Carter Vickers.
Which championship side did Rangers beat in this season's Scottish Cup quarter final?
Championship side. You're asking me. I'm going to go for Dundee.
St Johnstone's Ryan McGowan plays internationally for which country?
Australia.
Who scored more league goals this season, Curtis Main or Stevie May?
Stevie May.
Name any other country from Scotland's Nations League group from last year.
Oh, I'll go for Israel because we usually play them.
Greg, what do you think?
I think I might have picked him, but I
don't know because I wasn't very confident, that's for sure.
You were up against it, Jim, because Greg just sat silently while his brother shouted out all the correct answers from the sidelines.
I should ask Simon to help me in.
Name any Old Firm player who's been sent off this season. You had the choice of Morelos, which the guys got, Callum McGregor, which you got, John Lundstrom, or David Turnbull, high boot, remember?
Right.
So you both got it. You both got Cameron Carter-Vickers. Rangers beat Raith in the quarter-finals of the Cup. And Greg and his minibus full of helpers got that one. So they go 3-2 in front. You both got Ryan McGowan, Australia. You both went Stevie May, so the score won't change, but you're both wrong. Right. So it's Curtis Main 7-6.
Well.
And
I said that, to be fair.
I know, Greg, it was the one time you overruled your brother and you got it wrong. So there's a lesson to be had in there. And you both did it. You both went, ah, it'll be Israel because we always play them. But the last Nations League was Armenia, Republic of Ireland and Ukraine. So Greg and your brother, you've not only beaten Jim Duffy, you've wrapped it up for the listeners on Wednesday night. 3 out of 3 for the listeners this week. Well done.
Well, thanks very much. I'll give my brother a pat on the back for that.
I don't know if you've ever tried cutting a sign ball in half. I wouldn't recommend it. And you want to get Jim Duffy's signature anyway, since you beat him. But well done, guys.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Well done, Greg.
Good
done, Greg.
Stuff. There we are. Listen, what was
Callum McGregor's red card? I went blank.
Was that the Motherwell game? Remember, he sort of took one for the team.
Somebody had a bad pass back, and he brought the boy down last man. So I think was it Greg Taylor or something? No, I think it was Mike Barabi or something. I think anyway, somebody had a pass back, and he was
one of those
back.
Take ones for the team, wasn't it?
It was late in the game, I think.
But anyway, if he wants to get himself sent off when the sides meet again this weekend, that's absolutely fine.
As long as you don't try and appeal it, you may get an extra game.
It might take more than that for the Steelmen to have any chance, but we'll see. Right, 0141951. At 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to give us a call. What else have we got on here? Anything coming in on Twitter that needs mentioned? I don't think so. Andy is on. He says, Andy the photo doctor. Hi, Gordon, Simon, Jim. I'm enjoying the show because my son's at rugby training. Quite right. You focus on the round ball for now, Andy. As a Rangers fan, just looking for a bit of freshness to the squad in the summer, an injection of pace and guile. Is needed. I suppose that feeds in nicely to those comments I mentioned earlier about Michael Beale suggesting, you know, it's 4 or 5 signings away from competing with Celtic. Could you put a number on it? I'm glad I'm never asked to put a number on these things.
No, I don't think you can. And I think that, you know, listen, when managers are maybe asked, they'll always throw a number in there, some, you know, like, you know, a 4 or 5 or, you know, because it gives them a bit of scope. That's presuming everyone is, you know, currently staying within the squad and no one decides to leave or no one takes some of your best players.
Because we've just spoken about Ryan Kent, so if Morelos leaves, does it include that or do you add them on? What would your thought kind of be then on a ballpark?
Yeah, again, if those two players were leaving, I think means we need more than 4 or 5 because, you know, I think they need to have more options, as Simon was saying earlier on, or yourself, I think, you know, if you bring in, if for instance Kent goes and you bring in a winger, you still need that real top competition, so that that player keeps that level high. You can't just have a squad player just flitting in and out, because then you know, your standards can drop. So you need two players for every key position.
Do you think that's
the top level?
One of the things Ryan Kent, you know, just expects to be in the team most weeks.
Yeah, I think you don't do it deliberately, Simon. I mean, obviously, you know, yourself playing yourself, but when you're at a top club, if you've no one breathing down the back, yeah, and if every time someone comes in, you know, to the dressing room, but it's another area or somebody you look and think, well, he's not going to put me at the team. Yeah. I just think it's human nature that you just maybe occasionally drop off the pace, not deliberately. Yeah, but
the one for me, we spoke about it earlier as well, with Greg Taylor. Mm. You know, they went out and got a left back.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Yeah.
And I think Greg Taylor's game's kicked on.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think. And clubs like Celtic and Rangers probably need that every position. So yeah, I think that's where Bale will look, you know, in the summer.
Yeah. I think it's hard to put they need a goalkeeper. I think I don't have any doubt they need a goalkeeper. I think there's a number of areas. Again, will John Lundstrom stay? Will Ryan Jack stay? Will Morelos? Last year, Rangers probably thought that Conor Goldson was going to go. I think everyone thought he was going to go. Yeah. I thought Alan McGregor was going to go. Both of them stayed. So listen, teams have to do their work now. They have to do the research now in terms of the players' availability, all these sort of things. They can't wait until the last minute because they'll have Champions League qualifiers to come up and they'll have two very difficult ties to try and get through. So you want to be in as strong a position as possible and not chasing, you know, to try and bring in top players at the last minute.
Robert is on the line. Robert, you're a Celtic fan. What do you think? Are Rangers four or five players away from competing?
Well, everything else will depend on the quality of those four or five players. I mean, if they can get Man City to take some Rangers shares in exchange for Haaland and De Bruyne, then yeah, they've got a chance.
I'm detecting a hint of sarcasm from Robert. It's just a hunch. So you think that wouldn't be enough to bridge it at the moment, Robert? Or I guess perhaps, you know, Celtic to strengthen anyway?
Maybe the level of those four or five players. If Aberdeen could sign Haaland, De Bruyne, Odegaard, etc., they'd be challenging Celtic and Rangers next season. But if we're talking about similar standard of players to what they've got, then they could be a lot further away. And then it goes back to what Jim said, it's not just the starting 11, it's the full value of the squad. In which case, you're then talking, are they needing 10 or 12 players to fill their squad to the same standards as what Celtic currently sit at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's interesting is this argument that you see a lot, because it's obviously valid. How can you, you know, you're talking about Celtic standing still, because, you know, what if they then improve? So that seems fair.
So Robert's 100% right. Yeah. It depends on the calibre of the player that you're bringing in. You have to bring in stuff to enhance your squad, enhance your starting 11. I don't know how you can put a number on that.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, there was when that came out earlier on today, somebody's put it on whether it was Twitter, that Celtic going to stand still. So it's a hard one.
See, at the same time, though, do our clubs have, and I'm not saying Celtic are at theirs, right, before anyone gets all upset about it, presumably our clubs have a ceiling or you know, I mean, at least some level that they're unlikely to go. But maybe I'll phrase this differently.
They do have a ceiling, a financial ceiling, of course they do.
So yeah. I suppose when you're the chasing pack, right, like Rangers are this time, can Celtic just keep on getting stronger forever? I assume the answer to that is no, because nobody does, and particularly our financial constraints. So although I'm sure Ange Postecoglou 100% is going to want to make Celtic stronger.
There you go. That's the thing. I answered this question the other day. I don't know how far they can go.
Because are they now, believe it or not, this is a compliment to Celtic. Yeah. Are they now running out of obvious areas that they could improve on?
Well,
or like loads of them. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you look at the Celtic squad and say, oh, he's hopeless.
It depends on what happens at Celtic as well. Players could move on.
But it also depends on what your next challenge is. Is your challenge the domestic title, or is it to improve in Europe? Because Celtic have to improve in Europe. And to improve in Europe, you do need to then bring in different players. I mean, you can look at the squad at this moment in time, and I talk about the squad, I'm not just talking about the people starting 11, whatever it's to be, the 20 odd players that are at Celtic, and you can say that is more than good enough for me at this moment in time to win the league again next season. But is it more than good enough to compete and to go to the group stages of the Champions League to get to the next level? Again, depending on which group you get in, but unlikely.
I think, you know, the better you are, the harder that must be, because, and again, it is a compliment. Surely it's not going to be easy to upgrade Kyogo or Hatate or McGregor, or, and there might be some. People might say, well, do you know what? I think we could go left sided centre back. You know, maybe that is. Maybe we could upgrade the goalkeeper, someone who's really super comfortable with the ball at his feet.
For me, that's the exciting thing about the Celtic project, because he's been so successful with his recruitment. If you'd said 2 years ago that there'd be four or five Japanese players playing in the Celtic
exactly,
team.
That's
you know,
true.
And it would have went down a different route. If Eddie Howe had taken the job, it would have went down a different route because he would have shopped somewhere differently. Mm-hmm. I think this is the refreshing and exciting thing from a Celtic perspective, that this guy's came in on experience of where he's worked before. He's brought these players in, he knew they would enhance the team, and they have. They're exciting. So for me, looking on from a Celtic point of view, that's the exciting bit. Where can he go and improve now? Where's he going to go? But I think, guys, like, I understand what you're saying, Jim, about the Champions League, but I think there'll be another season down the road, there'll be a better team. I'm not disagreeing that they'll need refreshed.
Well, that is true, though, because the guys in the building can get better.
Hitati's you don't need to get better all the time.
You don't need to buy new players.
But then it comes back to, can you keep a hold of them?
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, there's talk, I mean, speculation about Ajax being interested in Lila Bada. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone foresaw the fact that Giamakis would have left because he was the kind of next player behind Kyogo, but then they bring in O. There's always little tweaks in, you know, the parts of the evolution of football clubs. You never stand still. And Ange Postecoglou has already made his case saying he's already got plans underway to strengthen.
Well, you look at the right back as well.
Yeah,
so Juranovic was great.
Yeah.
But it's almost as
seamless.
If he's not been there.
Oh, seamless with Johnson.
You know, the guy Johnson's just came in and been excellent.
If anything, better, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, Robert, last night, just to recap slightly, we had a really good debate on who the player of the year was going to be and what the shortlist would be like. And for a lot of Celtic fans, it was hard to choose. Who's been the pick of the bunch for you?
I think Hatate is probably the pick of the bunch, but I think Greg Taylor's pushed him the whole way. Just... I was always a fan of Taylor. I always thought he could see a pass and find the through balls, which now that he's moved inside, he's got more options and he's finding more and more of them. However, I think the weaknesses in his game were always his pace and strength. But I think he's learned this season how to either cope with them or hide them. So he's not been exploited on those weaknesses. Now, whether that's been he's became a stronger player or a faster player or just using his head and positioning himself better to compensate for those issues in his game.
Yeah, it's high praise. I mean, it was last night with so many names thrown, right? We did a very unscientific poll, but we got producer Chris to simply count up all the tweets that came in. And our definitive player of the year shortlist was Kyogo, most votes. Hatate, second most votes. Duke and Van Veen. Had they got the same, actually, believe it or not?
Fair play. In the west of Scotland, you're an Aberdeen player and a Motherwell player. You've done
that
well
seemed
there.
Like a fairly acceptable list. You know, a good few mentions for James Tavernier. And then there were loads of other Celtic players. Robert's gone, Greg Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, how can you overlook the consistency of Callum McGregor? We even had someone who was adamant that Joe Hart should be in there. Maeda got a shout. You know, I think it's probably testament to the sort of spread of strength they've had.
Centre backs had a great season, Carter Vickers.
Magnificent.
I'm going to make you pick one. You're not even allowed to pick two.
Kyogo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're going for the goal scorers.
I named him at the competition at the start of the season. I named him.
Did you?
The goal scorer scored 20 goals last year with a large chunk of the season out injured. Mm-hmm. He scores big goals. He scored in the final again. I think he's got 5 against Rangers this year. Mm-hmm. His movement for me, and I think the relationship with his teammates is getting stronger. They're seeing the runs more. They're understanding where he wants the ball, and for me, it's Kyogo.
You asking me, Colin?
Just one.
Kyogo.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Poor Hatate, what's he done wrong?
No, there's loads of players I know that are anything wrong. But I'm with Simon. I just think his movement is a joy to watch. Yeah. If you're in the stand and you know, been fortunate enough to be in a lot of games for the media and you're watching him, and Simon obviously played in that role as well, his movement is just, it's an education. Yeah. An education. And for a defender, it's a nightmare because normally, you know, strikers will make maybe one or two moves. You know, you look over your shoulder, you think, right, he's peeling away, but he's going to come across me, and you're ready to anticipate that. You can't anticipate Kyogo because he'll make 4 or 5 moves and he still manages to time the run on when the ball's getting delivered. So, listen, for me, Kyogo has been the outstanding player by a country mile this year in Scottish football.
Duke or Van Veen?
Van Veen.
I think Van Veen because I think over the course of the season, I think when you're a team who'd been struggling and I think he still, his performance levels were still pretty high. And I know Aberdeen struggled a little bit as well, but I think Duke's form dropped. I think he's played well when Aberdeen have played well. I think Van Veen still was doing all right when Motherwell struggled. So I would probably go Van Veen as well.
Yeah, that was last night's fun. I just thought I would check. Thank you to Robert and Dennis. 01419511025. Whilst you get your calls in, let me run this past you.
Cash for Kids Day.
Clyde One.
It is just over a week away. So it's a week tomorrow. Thursday the 27th of April is the big day, Cash for Kids Day. We're going to all join together and try and help children affected by the cost of living crisis. You don't even have to wait until then though to get involved, because this competition, if you're anything like me, would be right up your street. We're talking a 7-night family holiday to the gorgeous island of Fuerteventura. You fly from Edinburgh Airport on the 5th of August and stay at the Dunas Club Apartments. Lots of nice beaches, relaxation, excitement, bit of fun for the family as well. And it's all thanks to the good folks at Barhead Travel, who've donated the holiday. And on top of that, our other friends at 101 Convenience Stores have kindly donated £500 Euro spending money. So you can really enjoy your trip. Beer tokens, as Simon Donnelly would call them, and ice lolly tokens, as Jim Duffy, the teetotaler, would call them. Now, entries to the competition are just £3, and then all of that goes to Cash for Kids. So you're making a £3 donation to children that need your help, and you might end up with a 7-night family holiday out of it. So it sounds pretty good to me, as biased as I may be. For full details and enter online, head to Clyde1.com/CFKday.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy are here still. Plenty of time for you to get involved. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Want to give a quick mention as well to Karen and Ian McKinley. They're hosting a benefit match for local Clyde bank man Alan McGeechy, who was sadly diagnosed with motor neuron disease 2 years ago. We've played for many teams over the years. Now they've arranged a charity match. It's Sunday the 23rd at Home Park, just along the road, 12 noon. Hosts are Baron Stroud taking on Dumbarton Aki's, and then on to the Albion Social Club for raffles and auction, and you're all welcome. That was the invite that you got there. So there,
when date's up?
It is the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd of April. So that's this weekend.
This Sunday, yeah.
This Sunday, so hopefully a good response there. Right, I've got a teaser for you tonight, okay? Can you name the last 10 players to score a double in the league against Rangers? So quite simple. Well, the question's simple. I don't know about the answers, but can you name the last 10 players to score a double in the league against Rangers?
Last week. You said it. Kyogo.
Okay.
O'Hara.
I wondered where you were going with that. Last week.
Aye.
That's why I looked
ago.
At you.
All right, okay.
O'Hara, Kyogo.
But
yes.
They were great. His first one was a great
How, good, how good was it? I don't know why. I feel like it did didn't get the credit it deserved.
Did you spot the other player's celebration?
He jumped over the
rail boards.
Aye, the boy slipped and then he fell. Was the boy Ryan Blair on it?
He was all coy trying to get back out. I think he hurt himself.
It was fantastic. By the way, he was another one, just to go over old ground. We had quite a few shouts for Mark O'Hara as a sort of outside bet player of the year, if we're talking, you know, non-Celtic players, that sort of thing. He's been excellent, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done again. Terrific. And again, suits the way that Stevie Robinson sets his team up, box to box, you know, gets forward. He's taking the penalties, all these kind of things. But yeah, I mean, a very, very influential player for St Mirren this year.
Yeah, and he's on the teaser as well. So Mark O'Hara, Kyogo, take one more guess.
Van Veen.
Duke.
Van Veen, no. And Duke, no, apparently.
Majovski?
No.
Nisbet?
No.
Shankland?
Right, you're running out.
We're just going to go for the top goal scorer.
Just take a breath.
Is Shankland a no?
No, he's not. Okay, so we'll leave it there. Looking for the last 10 players to score a double in a league game against Rangers. You've got Mark O'Hara and Kyogo from the last, 10 days? Or whatever, last fortnight or whatever. So that seems a good place to start. We'll try and get the rest. Thank you to Martin Burns for sending that one in. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. That is where you email the questions, and we try our very best to use them on the show. So I like the look of that one. I think we'll work our way through it between now and the end. Zara is in Maryhill. How are you, Zara?
I'm very well. How are you doing, guys?
Good, good. No complaints in here. What's your point tonight?
Hi there. So, yeah, my point was just this budget thing that keeps coming up.
time and time again. It's kind of, yeah, got me a bit. Yeah, it keeps coming up and it's grating on me a bit. So, yeah, my point is I think managers are using it a bit of an excuse, to be honest. So, and it filters down to their team. And see, before the ball's even kicked, that's it. They've lost, to be honest. So who
in particular do you mean? Who's annoyed you with bringing up budgets?
So, see the Hibs manager, the one, can't remember his name.
Yeah, Lee Johnson.
The Del Boy jacket, yeah, him. so when he says that about he needs, you know, a billionaire to come and invest and, you know, that's when he can compete, that was nonsense, you know, absolutely nonsense.
Is it though? Is it? Because is it not, are you a Celtic fan, Zara?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it not the same then when you go and try and compete with Real Madrid?
No. It's not. I don't use that excuse. Definitely not. I think that one of the things as a sports person, you have to have the right mentality. And you can compete. You know, you don't need to have a sugar daddy. You know, you don't have to have billions of pounds in the bank. You can compete. You know, so yeah, I think it's just an excuse to deflect from where he's went wrong and his tactics. And I think that when you look at Hibs, where they've lost the majority of their points is actually with the rest of the league and not with Rangers and Celtic.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an element of truth in that, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Zara's got a point. If you take exceptions through likes of Leicester going back a few years ago and winning the Premiership, yep. But they are exceptions to the rule. The vast majority of leagues are won by the richest clubs. I don't think you have to look too far. You can look at any of the top five clubs, five leagues in Europe, in particular the top five. They'll all be won by the richest clubs. This year in England, obviously, Arsenal are not the richest club. Mm-hmm. Man City are. But generally speaking, you know, that's the case. So, you know, if you look across, whether it's Germany, Holland, etc., Spain, and so on and so forth, the richest are generally the winners of the league. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a competition, you can do the best you can with resources at your disposal. And I think, yeah, I think what Zara, the point that Zara's making is, I think if you tell your players you're not good enough, if you tell your players that you know you're not going to win something, then you're right, psychologically they maybe have that negativity. So I think you've got to be as bold as you possibly can be with your players, set the targets as high as you possibly can, and then see how close you can get to those targets.
At the same time though, is there not a room for a bit of realism in the sense, well, put it this way, Zara, Hibs can't win our league, can they?
Well, they can get close, but the thing is as well that gets me as well, right, so see when you look at the empty seats, right, and they're moaning about budgets, right, but they're not accepting paying fans. They can't have it both ways, right, talking about budgets but not accepting paying fans. And I'm not going to be an entitled Celtic fan saying they should accept our money, right, but the onus is on the clubs to grow their business. It's not on Celtic to stand still just so other clubs can catch up with us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but who again, this debate fascinates me, because that soundbite from Zara's bang on, but then I don't know, is it, who is saying Celtic should stand still? I certainly don't think they should, but you can still acknowledge the size of the gap without asking for that. You know, it's all admirable and it's nice and fuzzy to say that Lee Johnson or whoever, you know, just you got to believe you can do it, yeah. Guys. But if you're in my family wagon out the car park and you're racing a Ferrari or a Formula One car, it just won't happen.
It's more difficult. I haven't seen a lot of Hibs.
That was just an example, to be fair.
That's an example. But I did watch Celtic get beat 3-0 off Real Madrid, and 60,000 fans applauded at the end because they could see the approach to the game. Is there a way to lose a game? You know, that game they took, sure, Real Madrid, yep, an hour. But as we've seen in recent times, they can't get out that group. It's difficult because other clubs have more money.
But I think, Simon, that's okay when you're playing in a very small group and you only get that limited number of chances to get. If you go over a course of a whole season
and you go
and let's have a go against Celtic and you get beat, and then you have a go against and you get beat, and then you, and everybody say yeah, but you're playing really good football, you'll not be there very long as a manager, you know, no matter how you set your tactics out. As far as the finances are concerned from clubs, you keep your home gates, but you're not really wanting the opposition to be any stronger than you can afford it to be. And if Ives have decided that they think there's enough away fans in particular case,
well,
for
I think
Zara,
Kilmarnock's the example this weekend that people keep mentioning.
Yeah, but you know, Zarab's using Hibs as an example. If they feel that, listen, that we've sold enough tickets to Celtic, we don't want any more Celtic fans in there because that would give Celtic more of an advantage, then that's their choice to make. And if that means that their budget has to be tweaked a little bit because of that, then fine. But I don't really think it's got a huge impact.
You know, I think, Jim, so Zara makes a point about mentality. You as a player going back, would you not rather play in front of, I mean, I went to Ibrox when there was no Celtic fans, but listen, youthful exuberance maybe, but I loved it. I mean, are we now questioning the mentality of the players because there's a few extra Celtic or Rangers fans in the stadium?
Yeah, but listen, I just think that I agree, I prefer if it was, you know, the opposite fans, there's nothing better than you getting a bit of stick and all these kind of stuff for opposition. But yeah, there is a change, I think, from the mentality, the psychology of players these days. I think that there is that. But I think in terms of finance,
take St Mirren as an example. We've been through this loads of times. Take St Mirren as an example. Yeah. They decided to not just open their doors and let Glasgow's Big Two just rule the roost, right? And then look at this weekend. They're playing against Kilmarnock for a place in the top six. The place is sold out. Yeah. Motherwell did it before. Decided Rangers and Celtic can have the big stand behind the goals, which is loads, but you're not getting the main stand anymore. Yeah. You're not getting the Davy Cooper behind the other. And since then, Motherwell's season tickets have grown because you're trying to foster an actual spirit and a bond with your fans rather than just opening the doors and let everyone.
Yeah, but God, you've had this. The fact is that this week, St Mirren can be in the top six. If St Mirren, you know, another three places below, is that a sold out game? No, it's not.
But here's my point, right? The point is,
it's because you're doing well.
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Right. This idea that it's going to make that much of a difference, right? That as if selling, and I get that it would help. Zara's right. You're going to get a bit more money, but this notion that you sell 3,000 extra tickets to Celtic or Rangers and it makes a difference. As an example, St Johnston are one of the ones that give Rangers and Celtic the full place. Yeah. So are Livy, and their financial picture is grim.
No, I don't think anybody said that. I mean, I'd say if it was a minimal difference, if that's their choice to make, I don't think it makes a big difference to them. But obviously, I don't think the clubs are doing it because it's a financial disadvantage or advantage.
That's Zara's very point, though. Yeah. Don't complain about budgets. Just let more of our fans in. You'll have a bit more money.
Yeah, but again, I think that as you say, you know, you can say if I get a £100 budget or £110 budget. I think the difference is if you've got £100 budget and £1,000 budget, if it's 10 times
exactly,
the difference,
that's
then
my point.
Fine. But this is not. This is minimal. So I just think that
what's minimal?
The difference in between the fact that the amount of fans going to Easter Road, the extra fans.
Yeah, so we're agreeing then. That's what fans. I mean. This notion that it wouldn't help you bridge the gap to Celtic and Rangers, let's be honest.
No, it wouldn't. So, but I think it's just the quality of the players. And that takes longer at these clubs. That's the point. I mean, it'll take Lee Johnson longer to get to where he wants to be than it would take any Celtic manager, because they have bigger resources to go, and obviously a bigger attraction. Of course they will. They can attract better quality players, and it takes time. And as you get good players at the likes of Hibs as well, they move quicker. So for instance, Nisbet, for instance, he could have went to Millwall, decided to stay. But if you've got two or three good young players, they will get snatched. So your rebuilding process is harder all the time. It's not as quite as simple as if you have a bit more money in the bank, you can challenge easier. It doesn't quite work as simple as that.
You get the final say, Zara.
Yeah, so it's just it's elaborating. Like, I'm not saying like just opening up the, you know, it won't build the, it won't close the bridge, but it can put more money in, so then they can, you know, get better players in, or they can invest in their infrastructure. Like, look at, say, like Motherwell. Now they've got Kettlewell and they're doing better, you know. Look at St Mirren, they're doing better now that they've got a manager in, you know. So they've tweaked these things, and now they're doing better.
Absolutely, but they are two clubs that decided to not have as much Old Firm fans come as they used to. So the idea that this is the silver bullet, I think that's a complete contradiction. But I get it, because everyone's got their own. If I was a Celtic or Rangers fan, I'd think, well, look at that empty seat. I could sit there.
See there, when I was making that point, though, I wasn't banging the drum for getting more Celtic Rangers fans in. I was questioning the mentality of players. You know, if they regard that as
that's fine. But the initial discussion,
armory, let's take away more, because you can't handle playing in front of a crowd.
That's fine. But the initial discussion was let more fans in, get more money, and therefore that helps you financially. Don't complain about budgets if you're going to lock out fans. That was the gist of it. Anyway, how are you faring on this teaser, you two?
Abada?
Yes, absolutely.
Hatate?
Yes, some very high-profile ones. A lot of Celtic players have done this recently. So it's players that have scored a league double against Rangers in the last 10 to do it. So Marco Hara, Kyogo, very recent. Abada and Hatate, fairly recent
Steve
as well.
May?
No. Gets a bit harder from here.
Yeah.
Still, you know, still one or two obvious ones. Going back a couple of seasons, maybe. Give you some thinking time.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy, Simon Donnelly are here in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'm going to give you a bit of a breather on the full time teaser. I'm giving you a break here. I'm going to just make it the last eight. I think the last ten, I'm looking at a couple of these names.
No
tough
chance.
With clues you would, but a bit tough. So let's call it the last eight.
Would Roger Hannah get them?
Oh, absolutely. Get the last 43. But if anyone's playing at home, you can feel free to try and knock off the last 10. But let's change it to the last eight players who've got a double in the league against Rangers. You've got Marco Hara, Kyogo, Abada, Hatate. So that's four.
Edward.
Yes, Edward. Well done, that's five. So let's call it three to go. Well, I give you the two that were really tough in the last 10.
Yeah,
Jamie Walker, Hearts.
All right.
And Robbie Muirhead did it for Hearts in the 16-17 season.
I was going to say that 16-17
so
season, 7 years ago.
What, you got three to get, really? Okay.
In more recent times?
A bit more recently, yeah. Anything doing?
No,
I think we're going to
absolutely
need
not
teams.
Okay. A very interesting question, because there's got to be only one way of answering this. Paul Patterson says, how does Jim think Clyde will do up at Peterhead on Saturday? Well, I hope he thinks they're going to do well.
Well, that's one of those questions when if somebody asks you, you think, well, what could I say? Yeah, well, obviously you're going to go up there and feel as if you want to expect to win. That's
big
the
game
same
though,
as
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big game. You know what I mean? And it'll be a nervy game for both teams. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We've both been kind of isolated at the bottom for the whole season, really. So we've got to a situation where you got there and you've just got to be competitive. And both teams, I said, will be equally competitive, and it'll come down to a wee bit of maybe who holds a nerve on the day.
Have Peterhead picked up a little bit? Is that what I've detected?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, obviously, David Robertson unfortunately lost his job a few weeks ago. But the, you know, fun of both of us beat Edinburgh. Peterhead beat Edinburgh a couple of weeks ago, and we beat Edinburgh last week. So that kind of, you know, even things back up again. So yeah, it's going to be an edgy game. But you know, we got there, and you know, we're playing a wee bit better in recent weeks, and hopefully we can continue that and go there and get a positive result.
Yes, big games in SWPL tonight actually as well. Glasgow City Rangers, that's huge at the top. Remember, they're in their post split fixtures as well, all playing each other twice. I think 5 point lead for Glasgow City at the top there. I can see Stephen Roy's giving this teaser a good kicking. Let's hear a bit from the interim manager of St Johnstone, Stephen McLean, a man you'll know well, of course, scored many goals for St Johnstone, had a spell at Hearts, didn't he, later on?
Did he get a double against Rangers?
He did not. Do you know, he used to score against Motherwell all the time, so if that was your question, I seem to remember that. But let's hear from him. He said he wanted Callum Davidson's blessing before taking on the role.
Yeah, difficult. I mean, when I spoke to Callum on Sunday, it was sad, it was emotional, but he said to me that he wanted me to stay and take the club forward. So it was a difficult decision, but with Callum's blessing, I decided obviously to take interim charge. I spoke to the chairman, and he wanted me to take over for the foreseeable future, or for whenever, just to lead the team forward. So yeah, it was really difficult, but I've only done it with Callum's blessing. So all I'm thinking about is the Hibs game. Whatever happens after that, I'll speak to the chairman after that. My full focus on is Hibs this weekend, and that's what me and the players have done all week.
So Stephen McLean there. You have a season at St Johnstone, Simon? That qualifies you as an expert for us.
Yep.
What do you think? It's been quite the time, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's sad to see a guy who will go down arguably as St Johnstone's best. You know, he won...
The Winter Cups is incredible. There was statue inside for him.
And then last season, you know, tasted the other side of it, you know, struggling at the bottom end of the table, and just recent form, you know. But listen, we can speculate, we don't know actually what happened in terms of did they both come to an agreement, decided he's had enough there, we don't know. But listen, McLean's been there long enough as well as one of his coaching staff, he knows the club really well. So we'll see what happens, but you've got to feel for guys when they lose their job.
Yeah, well, I've seen them recently, I mean, because Stuart Kettlewell came in and was doing the development side at Motherwell, and it's obviously done well. Chris Doolan, Patrick Thistle, was doing a similar sort of role, and when Ian McCall lost his job, and done well. Stephen Naismith has just inherited the interim job at Hearts. Obviously Barry Robson was a similar sort of thing, and now Stephen McLean. So, you know, sometimes I think at this stage of the season, you know, there's a bit of continuity, but I do feel it was, I mean, I know, listen, we can look at a lot of managers, and I think I'm always in the manager's camp because I know how difficult the job is, but I do think Callum Davison, if it was by the board that he had to leave and it wasn't mutual, I think that is incredibly harsh for what he's achieved at the club.
Well, funnily enough, we were just on the theme just before the break about fans and stadiums, that sort of thing, and I mentioned St Mirren sold out for... the visit of Kilmarnock as they try and clinch a top six spot. That's certainly well in their hands. They're sort of favourites to do it, if you like. Sorry if that makes you feel the worst St Mirren fans. But let's hear from Keith Lasley, of course, now in a senior position at the club. Delighted for that response this weekend.
People of Paisley have come out in their numbers and backed us all the way, and I think that's been reflected in our results and our performances here at home. You know, to see the fans come out in that number and support the team is so pleasing. It should be a fantastic occasion. It's going to be a big game. You know, ourselves obviously pushing for that first top six finish in this league format, and you know, be a really big moment for us as a club. You know, hopefully that big support behind us, you can roll the boys on and get us over the line to finish in that top six would really, you know, help us. You know, it's well documented financially. It would obviously be more beneficial to the club, and then, you know, the subsequent fixtures in the top six would be very exciting, and you know, who knows where that would lead. That's part of my task is to try and grow the football club. But it's down to us. You know, if we can finish that off this season and really push on into next with a successful end to this season, then, you know, hopefully, you know, we can continue to build and grow.
It should be some occasion, that.
Yeah, it certainly be, you know, nervy again, you know, but it's a good nerve because of the progression that St Mirren have made and they're in good form. I actually think it'll be a much tougher match than perhaps one or two expect, because I think Kilmarnock on the back of, you know, that comprehensive defeat to Celtic, I think they're really fighting for their lives, and Derek needs a big performance from his team. So I think it'll be quite an edgy game. I think it could end up a draw. That will be good enough for St Mirren to be in the top six. The other big game is obviously Dundee United at home to Livingston. And again, Livingston just missed out last year. Had done really, really well, you know, for the majority of this season. Had that little dip for about a 5-6 week spell. But Dundee United, as Simon mentioned earlier on, 6 points out of six, even, you know, fantastic. And, you know, with a bit of momentum. So I think St Mirren will definitely be in the top six, and deservedly so. But I think it could end up being level in points and with the Kilmarnock at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, we're about 5 days away from having a whinge, probably, because there will be a fixture anomaly after the split, because there always is. Somebody has to go to a stadium an extra time. Are you of the mind to sort of take the rough with the smooth with that stuff when you see what this weekend means to Livy, means to St Mirren? To be fair, St Mirren could still finish, you know, third or whatever, but you know, it might be the only thing you've kind of got to aim for. It gives you a real sense of occasion this weekend.
It does. The games, I'm maybe disagreeing with Jim a little bit. I think they'll be both home wins. I think St Mirren show that they've got a goal in them, and a fear for Kilmarnock. You probably got to give Derek McInnes credit at 4-0 to change that, because that was going on 10.
Yeah, could have been,
So that's a positive that they'll take out that, but I just worry for Kilmarnock. Can I actually apologise to the St Mirren, because I took credit for Kyogo. I tipped St Mirren to...
Oh, never admit that stuff, because I'll dig you out in a couple of weeks when I get the sheets back out.
St Mirren had a fantastic season, they really have.
Oh, there's a few shouts in there that you and your fellow pundits will not want to see, let me tell you. Right. Oh, some of them are marvellous. And Jim Duffy's been stung with this stuff before on this show, so I like to bring up every time.
Someone asks you, you know, your views, particularly at the start of the season, when you've not got a clue, and then at the end of the season, you probably even get less of a clue.
Exactly.
But you still get asked the questions. So, listen, we put our heads on the chopping block. A lot of people say after the event, oh, I was going to do that, but it's after it's been done. We do it before it.
And do you know what? I need to dish out an apology of my own, because it was Mikey Burns who sent tonight's full-time teaser, and I called him something else earlier, I think. So it was Mikey who sent it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. So that's your task for tonight, for the next couple of weeks. Come up with a question, email it to that address, and I'll try and catch the pundits out with your question in the near future. So Mikey wanted you to name, and we chopped it a bit for you, the last eight players to score a league double against Rangers. So you've got some very recent ones in Mark O'Hara and Kyogo. You're not going back that far for Abada and Hatate. You've given me Edward as well. Needless to say, the rest are a bit trickier. I still feel there's one more obvious one.
Yeah, I think we had a wee chat. We didn't know if it was quite up to date, but a wee while ago, Chris Boyd.
Yes, he absolutely did for Killie in the 17-18 season.
Right, okay, so now I'm stuck.
Yeah, so me too.
Two more from that. One more from that season, and one from the season more recently.
Going to give us the
right. There's an Aberdeen one in there. Remember, there was a time when Rangers and Aberdeen were really going head to head a lot, and there's some brilliant fixtures. And Morelos and McKenna were battling it out, and there was a lot. No,
Ramirez.
No. So before that, so in between
those two,
in between those two.
Let me think.
Pollitt.
Nope. So out and out striker, target man,
Sam Cosgrove.
Well done. And the last one, it's the game you're going to want. Not saying it'll make it that much easier. Remember the 5-all
Hibs.
Remember the last game of the season, Easter Road,
on the plane thing.
Yes,
stuff,
who got a double for Hibs?
Oh,
tricky.
That is tricky. Hibs. No, I can't.
I think he went to the World Cup with Australia this year.
Matt Boyle?
No. And it wasn't Jason Cummings either.
It wasn't him either.
No.
Just ready to see Cummings, so it was him.
Shares his name with a Formula One car, if that's of
it's
any
a Formula
use.
One car? No help at all.
No, yeah. Well, it's not Mr. Ferrari, no, Mr. Mercedes. There is no Mr. Red Bull in the Hibs team. Jamie McLaren.
McLaren. Oh, never
thank
get that
you.
One. Jamie McLaren, never get that.
Jim and Simon, we're back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. Thanks for listening. Callum Gallagher is up next.